Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into episode 672 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is February 27th, 2022, and we are Markless. I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, Gabertag, Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And I say we are Markless. We were supposed to have Mark Wright on the podcast today. I'm just going to throw that out there right up front. Mark, you had made a promise. I'm just saying. I'm calling you out from the get-go, throwing you under the bus. Anyway, that aside, we do have two lovely individuals that actually made the podcast. They're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about how we can buy our own beer because we are older, wiser, more mature gamers. Some would say that. Okay, not many. My wife would definitely disagree with that statement. Pete Chin on the podcast. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. I'm energized. I'm good. Ready to go.
I'm good to be on.
All right. Awesome. Also on the podcast, sporting a fantastic t-shirt, Robin Tate.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Yeah, sporting a brand new fiber connection.
Oh, you got it.
And you stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So good to be back on the show. Nice to have a team. Lovely to have Mark here. My goodness. Thanks, Mark. Okay, man. Well, you're sitting in the corner now, embarrassed, aren't you? Yeah, we're calling you out, you know.
Exactly. We even have people in the chat already. We don't have Mark, but we have people listening to the podcast live. Boomer, Lord, Boom. Hello, welcome to the chat. Thanks for tuning in. We are going to talk about video games today. We do it every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and if you happen to be out in the central time zone celebrating a birthday today for your nephew, it's 3 p.m. And we are on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We are on, we've got audio version of the podcast usually comes out anywhere from 12 to 24 to 2 weeks after the podcast is up. And we're ready to rock and roll today. We have birthdays. Let's talk about them first. Seth McNitt. Birthday today, I believe 63 today. Again, this might be getting closer to the truth as we move forward in this podcast year over year. So I probably should start reversing that trend. And I'll start by reversing with Anthony. Tony is having a birthday today. Tony's turning 9 today. And Tony, if you're not familiar with Tony, Anthony is his formal first name. He happens to be the nephew to Kim Woods. Lovely little guy. I shouldn't say lovely. He is an awesome dude. And Anthony, we want to make sure you have a fantastic birthday. So I'm going to sing a birthday song for you that was written by Robin Tate. Happy birthday to you. Kim's nothing like you. She's so stinky, it's almost kinky. Happy birthday to you.
That was a tick move.
Kim, have fun explaining that.
I must have been drunk at the time.
Probably. Also, Nick Alda is having a birthday. And 40. We're just going to call it out. 40. Boom. It's like it's probably real. 40. It's not the end of the world. Trust us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman is not recognized.
Also in the chat, by the way, Hardly Dan, congratulations on the multiple bike rides. He survived. His legs are still on. They have not fallen off. I believe he's been doing the whole riding charity thing, and so that's been awesome. So there we go. Let's get into some story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Now, we're going to save the best story time for last, and that will come from Robin Tate's mouth. So in the meantime, we're going to start with Pete. Pete, it's been a little while since you and I have had a chance to chat, a couple of weeks at least. So yeah. What's been going on with you?
Well, this week, not much.
Good talk, Pete. Good talk.
It's been a bit of a quiet week, so we're done. Thank you very much. Let's listen to Robin's story. I've not really been up to much. I've had a couple of days off this week. I thought I was going to get some gaming done. I got some, not much, right, but some. But I ended up just getting into the whole chore thing, and I was putting some curtains up, and I did something for Mom and Dad and my uncle, and I just ended up falling into just doing bits and bobs of just normal life shit, really. So
honey-do lists for any time.
Yeah. So I didn't end up getting that much done as far as gaming's concerned. But apart from that, I've been busy at work. I went to A&E today. I've had this thing like going on for about 12 months. I pulled my ankle. Felt like my Achilles heel. I pulled that like last year. I went for a run, and it's never been right since, really. And then yesterday I was playing tag with my son Leo and a couple of other people. We met up with Shell's best friend and her family, and she's got a son and her daughter's boyfriend was there. So there was like younger lads. So here's me thinking that I'm still 21, running around like a nutter. And then I jumped over the lake because I was being chased by one of the sons. And okay. I jumped over like part of this not a lake, jumped over part of this stream. And I ended, when I landed, I was just like, oh, shit, that didn't feel that good. But I carried on running. Otherwise, I'd have been caught. I ended up getting caught anyway, because he's only a young lad. He's only like 20, and he's fit as a fiddle. But I thought, oh, God, what have I done? So I went to hospital today. But I've strained my Achilles tendon. It's a pretty bad strain, apparently. And I don't know. He says it's going to take about 12 weeks to repair itself if I rest well. But knowing me, I'm just going to carry on like Jack the Lad in Iron, and just not give a shit.
Well, let me just give you a forewarning. Take that advice to rest it a little bit. swimming is going to be good for it. That won't be problematic.
Yeah.
But I ruptured my Achilles tendon. I went through the whole surgery. They will put you in what they call a toe cast, which basically means you cannot bear weight on your foot at all. So I highly advise not doing that. If you can avoid rupturing your Achilles tendon, it's best for you not to.
Well, yeah, nothing's ruptured nothing's broken in a bad way. They did the tests on me that they needed to do today. And I'm okay. I've just strained it pretty badly. And he did say if you keep going doing stupid things, then you will end up getting hurt.
This is why you should just carry a stick now. And this way, when you're playing tag, you can just whack people with a stick.
Yeah, or just throw it at them.
Right. And if you're being chased, it's easy enough. You put the stick out and they can't tag you. You know, just keep them at distance.
Yeah. So I thought I was 21 yesterday, and obviously I'm not.
You were reminded that you were not.
Okay. But the one good thing was I wasn't there long today, which was great. I was only in there for about 2.5 hours, so it that's not bad really as far as A&E goes in the UK. Normally you're there for a long amount of time. But that happened, which really pissed me off. And I got my Christmas present as well today. My daughter Kira brought me a ukulele for Christmas, and it ended up being right-handed, so she ended up ordering another one. and sending that one back, and that come back, and that was right-handed. It was. It said it was left-handed on the listing, and for some reason, it wasn't anyway. That's been sent back, and I've finally got a left-handed ukulele. So that's come today, which has been good. So I've been learning a couple of chords today, and I'll give that a whirl. Yeah. So I've not really been up to that much. I'm in a bit of pain. So I'm hoping this gin's going to knock the pain off, hopefully.
Yeah,
but that's...
Did your doctor give you any pain medication?
No, just said to take paracetamol and ibuprofen. Rest, elevate it, ice. But, you know, with my work, I said I do 10 to 15,000 steps a day at work. I can't stop. So it is insisted that I slow down, but I don't know. I'll try my best. But I've also been given this wedge to put into my my shoe, actually. So right. It reduces the length of how my tendon's stretching.
Right.
So hopefully that might work. But it just felt like I was walking around with one stiletto heel. It's quite strange.
Really, yeah, you do have to be careful of that, depending upon how much it is, but because it will actually impact your gait. Because it literally throws your hips a little bit off because you're slightly elevated on one foot versus the other. Right. I had that problem with the walking boot from when I broke my leg.
Right.
That threw me off completely.
Well, this is about, I don't know, it's probably about 3/4, maybe an inch in height. It's not that big, but in your shoe, it does make a difference.
Right.
And yeah, I've still got all the sticky tape stuff, like all sealed on the one side. So this is, you can just change it around in all your different shoes, and I don't know. I'll see how I get on with it, but I've got to go back in a week and see how I get on.
By the way, Harley Dan says, if you're a real musician, you would have been able to just reverse the strings on your ukulele, but you know.
You can't do that, though. You can't, because of the grooves in the ends of the frets. It's a little bit more complicated than that, I think.
Probably.
Mike's telling me that. Misheard. I don't know.
I kind of misheard you got a wedgie. I'll take the videos down now, okay?
A painful wedgie at that, yeah. All right. Okay.
But, yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
Good. All right. Okay. So before we get to the highlight story of the week, I will just go real quickly. So I got this cologne from Christmas, and I never wore it, but it was I forgot the people that make it, but the name of the cologne is Bourbon. And I finally put it on, and I could smell it, and it reminds me of bourbon, and I'm just like, oh, yeah. So I will probably be obnoxious with this. I usually don't like people to be obnoxious with their cologne, but I am going to be obnoxious with this because I love the smell of this cologne now. So yeah, there's
what,
that.
What is it the actually smells like bourbon?
Well, it's named Bourbon, and it has a little bit of a bourbon wisp to it, in at least to my nostrils. So I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm digging that.
What I'm trying to think is the
I could just put bourbon on my body. That's the other thing.
Are you sure? Not are you sure the name's not Sex Panther? No,
it might be Sex Panther.
What's that? Anchorman.
Yeah. I might just rename it Sex Panther and just put a little sticker on it.
Mike Chin's in the chat.
Oh, Mike, yeah. Chin's checking really, in on his brother.
He must be really, really bored.
He must be, absolutely. Not like he has something else to be doing right now.
Yeah.
So Friday, I get this call from a coworker, and Fridays, by the way, if you work for a company, Fridays are usually not the time you want to have any like internet access problems happen with your work, because typically speaking, companies always let you go on a Friday. So I get this call from my coworker. He's like, "Hey, all my internet access is gone. My emails are gone. My access to Teams is gone. You know what's going on?" Not a clue. I was just like, "Nope." But you probably should call your boss. Sure enough, got fired.
Sorry, what?
Just one of my coworkers. It was just one of those random phone calls, though. I'm just I'm sitting there. I had been playing Halo. I got a call. You know, here I am fucking totally goofing off during work hours. And I get this phone call from a coworker, and he's like, you know, I've got, you know, no access now to any of the work stuff. And he's like, do you know what's going on? Is there a problem? And I was like, no, as far as I know, everything's okay. I said, but, you know, I thought maybe he clicked on a bad email. I'm like trying to think of ways of just say, call your boss because you're probably getting let go. And sure enough, yeah, he got let go.
Goodness. Wow, what a way to do that.
Well, I think the intention was to call him first, but really? Much like our administration, things don't exactly get done properly sometimes. And so the access was all cut off before the phone call was made. So, yeah.
Are these direct employees or are they subcontracted?
He probably was a contract worker, contract for hire. Right. We're a California-based company, so we still have to do certain things and due diligence. But, you know, he was an at-will employee. They have to have cause, and part of the cause was he just wasn't really doing his job. He was in sales, and he wasn't selling. So that's problematic at the end of the day.
God, what a performance review.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I shouldn't say fantastic. I'm really – so I started a new audiobook. Robin, okay. You had recommended Mind Bullet, which I have purchased, and it is on download. But I saw another book that had R.C. Bray as one of the narrators, and I was like, huh. Well, this is from Audible. It's one of their included books.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Yesterday's Gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
And so I started listening to this, and it's interesting because it's about like seven different characters, I want to say.
Yeah.
And they have all different narrators doing the different parts of these different characters, so their perspective. So R.C. Bray does one character, another, you know, narrator does another character, and it's an apocalyptic book, but I haven't gotten far enough into it to understand what the actual, you know, apocalypse is. If it's aliens, if it's the end of times. Yep. I'm not quite sure where it's going with it, but I have to say this book has a very weird kind of obsession with sexual tension, is I guess is the best way I could put it. There's multiple different character angles where they really bring forward like the sexual tension with like a teenage guy, and then there is a
fucking get her. I'm gonna fucking get
me. Exactly. Yeah, and it makes you uneasy. You know, I'm like listening to this, and I'm like, I'm like, can I don't know how I feel about this book yet. Like, I'm kind of enjoying it. I want to find out what the hell's going on with it. But there are parts of it when they're describing and they're, you know, you're getting the perspective of one of the characters. In particular, there's one character that is a less than savory person. I won't spoil it, but it's kind of disturbing being in his mind and kind of going through his part of the journey. And so, it's been interesting. I'll just put it that way. I can't really say absolutely recommend, but Robin, you finished it. So would you recommend or no?
Got halfway through.
Okay.
And, I peeled off a bit because it was just getting, it was a bit all over the place. Yeah, R.C. is in it, but he's like one of maybe seven voice actors
right.
as well.
And some different. Of the voice actors are pretty good, and there's a couple that are just okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'll maybe go back sometime, but no. I enjoyed it for a while, and then it lost me. It lost me. Yeah. I mentioned Mind Bullet.
Yes.
We might as well talk about that now as well. Mind Bullet's kind of cool. It's this guy, and it starts off, it's very exciting. I'd love to see it as a movie already. It sets maybe just slightly in the future. There are Tesla model, you know, Teslas in it, Model S's and stuff. But this guy's an assassin, and it comes this like exciting scene. I picture the Golden Gate Bridge, even though it wasn't. But you know, he's flying over the Golden Gate Bridge in this electric car, going really, really fast. And there's a guy in a limo, a baddie, that's his target, and he has this reputation for killing people without anybody knowing about it. Nobody really knows the secret, but he has this thing he can do telekinetic, like mind bullets, so he can squash things or crush things. So he gets beside the car and manipulates the thing to look for as a crash, but he gets the guy and squashes his brain. A mind bullet. But he's always been a loner, and he has this AI, is only his real friend, in sort of everywhere in his house and in his phone, and always helps him. But this AI turns into like a dating agency, almost tries to get him set up with a girl because he's lonely, and then he's never ever had any friends or partners, and it all goes a bit wrong. And then the little ninjas are after him, and there's nuns with guns after him, and there's lots of weird ones. So it's really exciting, and it's quite funny, good humor in it, and, okay, and really, really good R.C. Bray stuff. So yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
It's good. So that's a good book. It's a good book.
Right. Why don't we go through the non-exciting things, Robin?
All right. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Just this afternoon, Judith was all out, and I had just Jasmine and some of the boys, and I put on a movie. I put on The Secret Life of Walter Mitty today. I'd never seen it before, and it has your man. What's his face? God, how can I forget him already? He's in everything. Secret Life of Walter Mitty. So Walter Mitty is like back in the 30s. The character Walter Mitty was like a boring person, you know, never done anything, gray, boring. And Ben Stiller directed this.
Right. Ben Stiller.
And he's usually this dick, Ben Stiller is usually Ben Stiller and everything. And I thoroughly enjoyed this. It's all about Time Life magazine, and he's a negative for video camera films, like photographs. Mm-hmm. He's in the basement, the boring guy, and he's been there for like 16 years, never gone anywhere, never done anything, never went on holiday, really boring, lives in a boring house, everything's boring
company
about him.
Guy.
But he has this fantastic imagination, and he sort of zones out. So the girl in the office he fancies, she'll be maybe standing in front of a big photograph of Mount Everest from a Time Life cover, and all of a sudden he's in Mount Everest as a burly mountaineer, and it comes up, here, have a beer, love, and all this. His imagination goes wild, really,
right?
Because he doesn't do anything, and he accidentally has to go on this big, big hunt to Greenland and Iceland and volcano chasing and jumping out of helicopters. And all of a sudden he stops imagining things because he's in it and he gets his confidence. But anyway, it's quite profound. It's really well done. It's beautifully shot. The sound is fantastic. And I was really, really surprised at it today. It's a few years old now, but Jim, it's on Amazon to watch. So
Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Secret Life, yeah, really, really good, really good.
Okay.
Anyway, a few nice little retro purchases this week. My Commodore 64, which I drunkenly ordered last week, arrived. It's lovely. It's set up. It's done. I got another little cable for it, and the disk drive that I bought for another one a while back works really well. It's all set up and hunky dory. My other little miniature Pac-Man boyo arrived.
Ah, yes.
So that's my little arcade. There's six of those all running right now as we speak. Six going. You had a little tour last week, didn't you, Pete, afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay. So, fiber.
Everything's installed. Everything's great.
We had a few problems getting the fiber in. There was three attempted installations, and the installation went in, and last week they had fitted the machine and the box, and then when they went out to the telegraph pole on the road, there was no light, no signal getting through, so they said it would be 48 hours to get it sorted.
Right.
So, So that was last Thursday, or last Wednesday. And then, when did the snow come? What day was this?
The next day the snow hit. Yeah, the next day, your car is covered in snow. And so I just started laughing. I'm like,
The morning. So I took that photograph, and that must have been one day this week, wasn't it?
Oh, shit. Was that your car, Robin? I thought that was Greg's.
Yeah, no, that was my car.
Covered in snow. I don't get snow like that.
So, cleared the car, went down, out of my house, down the lane, and the first little bend, and I go, fuck, this telegraph pole is knocked down. I mean, completely cut in half. Tractor marks on the ground, whether it was either the tractor had did it or quickly pulled someone away. So I arrived home quite late that night, late on in the evening, and what hadn't been done then, so between then and 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning, it had been done. So I'm going on, God, yeah, friggin' hell, wow. So I get home a bit later on in the day, and as I'm driving back up the lane going, this is a post being replaced within hours, but I'm going, what are those cables hanging down? And the fiber, brand new fiber cable, which was just installed for a whole lane, we've been waiting on it for years, has shredded into bits between two telegraph poles.
God almighty.
We were about to go live that day, and the engineers have it all set up. It's ready to go. It's perfect. It's all connected. The green light's on in the house. All it needs now is to wait for fucking... rip the cable out. If it wasn't for bad luck, I had no luck at all.
I laugh. I feel bad, but I mean, that was a funny ass series of events.
That's such a pain in the butt.
The curse that is fiber.
It'll come, but I don't know now. I will put a call into them tomorrow because I just don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're aware because looking at the cable down the lane, there are probably at least one house affected.
Right.
They have the new fiber cable into their house now as well, so they would have been after that point. So maybe next week.
But normally, when you've got it installed and up and running, there's a clause, isn't there? They have to get it up and running within a certain time. So if you had it installed and it was working, they would have had to have repaired that within a 48-hour time.
Well, that was a normal repair, but we don't have generally psycho kamikaze tractor men knocking massive brand telegraph poles and breaking them literally like a stick in two.
But also they didn't actually get it fully installed, so therefore... No,
well, this is it.
Yeah,
it wasn't working. They didn't have the connection live, Oh, wow. You had so much bad luck.
So I don't know what they do. I mean, do they just does fiber? I think you can connect it up, so they'll probably have to cut out the.
Yeah, you could joint it. Yeah,
yeah.
It you up. Could join fiber.
Yeah. I was going to bring the sellotape down, or
something a little bit more delicate than that.
I think you should go for it, Robin. Just take a chance. See what happens.
By the way, just wondering, there's a lot of people in the chat about stuff. So we were chatting just before the show about the Steam Deck gaming stuff. I wonder if anybody has had an email yet that put their deposit down because the emails were supposed to come out from the 24th onwards. So does anybody know anyone that has had that email to say, do you really want it? So just putting that out there.
I have not seen anybody in and amongst our chat groups say they've got it yet. I do know, and we talked about this earlier, Robin, as well, that once you get your email, you have 72 hours to respond to it. And if you don't respond within 72 hours, then they open your spot to the next person in queue. But 72 hours is pretty generous. I mean, that will afford you the ability to check your email. You don't have to be like every hour, click, renew.
Why?
Anyway.
I prefer 2 weeks. With more delay time.
Yeah, Pete, you might have a problem. You might have a problem.
Good job I didn't click on ordering one.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, anyway, all right. And on the live stream, we have Kim Woods 3. Now, this is Kim Woods, and this Kim Woods, she works in business development, and I think she's from Tennessee. And this is our latest... So every week that Kim Woods is not on the show, we'll have a new Kim Woods. And you can look up, if you search for Kim Woods, you can find her LinkedIn profile there. And
the crazy part is I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Kim Woods out there. You just throw a stone, you'll hit one. According to Harley Dan, if you were in the Q1, you should get an email within the next few weeks. If you're Q2 like me, then you still have some time to go. So
that's all right. We'll keep cycling. Keep on giving you money.
There you go.
I say it's a front. It's a front for his Steam Deck.
Exactly. He's the charity. If you really look at the parent group of the charity, it's hardly Dan's bank account.
Have you both?
I don't know. I mean, you could say I'll just bring my Switch with me when I go traveling and I'll play it, but I haven't done that yet. And I'll probably, when I get this, probably won't do that either. But I want, just gotta have it.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't really have a good use case scenario for it outside of traveling, but I don't travel that much to warrant it, but I'm still going to get one. I've come to the conclusion I'm going to get one. All right, let's transition into games.
Games.
But if you're going to play the Game Boy, you got to learn to play it right.
Yay.
yes, Hardly Dan is now realizing that we have caught on to his scheme. Also, Mark.
No damage.
Mark Wright trying to make excuses, saying, "I didn't promise. I was told." Yeah. Mm-hmm. He promised.
Yeah.
I heard it. Oh. We have a recording of it somewhere. Okay, let's talk about the games we've been playing.
Yeah.
Pete, I know you had a fantastic week of work. There are some games that I know you want to talk about. I think we need to talk about Halo Infinite's campaign vehicle control because I know that angered you. I have a solution for you. It may not be perfect, but it's better than probably what you were experiencing.
I'm not even going to welcome it.
Not even going to welcome it.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe for the listeners, I think it's probably useful that you let them know what that option is. But I got to a point where I was just completely like, I'd had enough. So I fired up Halo 5 campaign.
In what way, Pete? You know.
Well, one.
Pete was trying to drive the Warthog. Let's just put it out there.
I don't like how unrealistic it is when you're on a vehicle. So I was on it was almost like a quad bike. I don't know what it's called.
Mongoose. I went on this. Funny enough, you silly boy. It's a mongoose. You have trouble with a mongoose.
This is like your God-given right vehicle there.
So I went on this. I went on this mongoose. And,
Say it.
It's just uncontrollable. Not only the controls, right? It was so unrealistic. You know, when you, like, on Gears of War, any vehicle that you drive, it's like, it feels solid, you know? It feels like it's attached to the ground. It don't feel like a fly where it's just all up against the rocks. You just, it was going everywhere, this vehicle was. And regardless of how shit my controls were, right, I really slowed this down and dumbed it down to a fact where I was being quite light with it. And wherever I went, it felt like it was just spamming all over the place, this mongoose vehicle. And then all of a sudden, there's another vehicle as well. Is it called a Scorpion? Like this real big, huge tank. Big, huge tank with an enormous missile. A missile launcher on top. And
it's a tank.
You can... controlling that, right? Oh my god, I was getting so vexed. It's just
a fantasy vehicles and fantasy worlds with fantasy gravity and different controls. Right.
But I don't even know what the vehicles
please,
are called.
Please don't say Gears of War that vehicles are realistic because they are not, Pete.
No, but they feel heavier. They feel like you're attached.
They feel heavy because they don't do anything.
All over the place. Like, those vehicles on Halo, right, they flip up on the ground. They flip upside down on the ground. It's like, right, flip this vehicle up. And, like, you just go, and it's almost like it flies up in the air. And
But that's part of the... So, okay, I think this is one of the things. It is part of the charm of Halo, but I understand the hate. I understand the hate.
Yeah. No, I wasn't feeling that at all. I just felt like...
Because when in multiplayer, when you have, you know, you shoot the vehicle with a rocket and it goes flying and it's tumbling and I mean, you will get laughs. But I get it. You wanted something realistic. I will just say this to anybody listening to the show. If you are struggling with the vehicle control, one of the things you can do is remap vehicle control. I put in it on my left thumbstick. And so, yeah, so it basically any direction you point your thumbstick in, the vehicle is going to go in that direction. It's a directional control. It's not going to control like a real vehicle. It will never control like a car.
No. So there's your advice from Craig in changing the control of the vehicle. But what I fucking did was press the power button and turn the fucking Xbox off, start it all over again, right? And I didn't play Halo this time around. I played Forza Horizon 5. So
right.
I'm not going to talk any more about Halo because
Hold on. There's news just in. We have footage of Mark Wright. That's why he's not on the show right now. He's on holidays fishing and it being quite sporty. I see him and waders getting fish out. He's got his top off. And there he is there with a scuba diver just in case he falls in. My goodness, Mark is such a manly man. He doesn't look anything like Vladimir Putin whatsoever. That seems to be Mark's holidays, and that's why he's not on the show this week, everybody. So that's it. So Mark's on
holidays. I like it. All right, and apparently I am now living on Kim's highway because I just have vehicles driving by.
I lost interest after all of that vehicle control shit and the whole. Do you know what it felt like? You know when you've got you've got these cheap footballs. We call them flyaways, right? They're just filled with air. They're real cheap, like PVC type plastic plastic footballs. You pay about $2.99 for them instead of like a leather size 5 Kayser soccer ball. So it felt like that. You kick it and it's just like it just fucking goes anywhere, and that's what these vehicles felt like. I know I got so fed up with it. It was unreal. I hated it. That absolutely infuriated me. And I
kind of wish you had streamed this, Pete. I kind of wish this had been caught on live stream. These are the moments.
When we were playing Halo the other night, I was the vehicle man. I was there. My mongoose. And, you know, my turrets and tanks. I mean, I love the way now when you're playing multiplayer that it quickly jumps from the driver's seat to the gun almost automatically. It seems to be a new thing, which is kind of cool. Don't tell me you got into the passenger seat and couldn't work out what was wrong.
Yeah. And then I sat on the back and I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? And I was like, oh my. I'm not going to play that game again. Unless I play multiplayer, I am not playing that game again. That campaign, even though I got a lot of achievements from it, I'd say that it was quite generous on achievements. To be fair, I'm not even going to see it through to the end because I'm just done with it. I think I've completed like three bosses.
So,
maybe.
Okay.
I don't care for it no more.
Okay.
It's gone. It's out of my life. So I fired up Forza Horizon 5. And yeah, I get it, what everybody else is on about. It's just like Forza Horizon 4, but with a little bit extra stuff. And it did feel like that. But it was just so much fun.
It is a fun game.
I played solo player. So, I didn't play any multiplayer stuff. I raced against the airplane at the start. I thought that was a real good thing. I did a few speed camera things. I did a few challenges, and then I just ended up just going round. I traveled to the Chichen Itza, which I don't know whether you've been there on the game, but
actually been there in real life.
Oh, Chichen Itza. Wow, really?
Yeah.
I'd love to go there. I'd really, really love to go there. It's one of the places that I've always wanted to visit. So I ended up going there via my Jeep and drove. And do you know what? I spent probably about, it seems really sad, I probably spent about 20, 25 minutes just driving around looking at all the architecture of the buildings.
Oh, totally.
And trying to get into into all the different crooks and nooks and crannies of the whole site itself, just to see what was around. And I couldn't care less about anything else then, because I really want to go there.
That is one of the cool things of the game, in the photorealism that they brought, and that the due diligence they took in kind of recreating a lot of Mexico into that game. Just as a side note, is a pretty incredible place to go see. I mean, much like the Egyptian pyramids, that kind of thing. I mean, you're looking at these structures and you're like, how the hell did they build these things back in the day?
Yeah.
It just baffles me. I remember going up, was it the Sun Pyramid? I'm trying to remember now. Anyway, it was easy to get to go up it.
Is that the tallest one?
Yes, the tallest one. Yeah, it's very easy walking up. However, walking back down, you don't realize how steep that climb up is. And so you're coming back down these stairs, and it was absolutely like they had a rope in the middle that you basically would hold on to come back down. And
blood.
Yeah. anyway, sorry. Side note.
The only one thing that I didn't like was that you couldn't really. I don't know whether it was the angle or the viewpoint that I was playing in, but I felt like you couldn't change the direction of where you're looking so well as you're driving. Mm. So it felt like I had to drive in all these different ways just to get different view angles of the pyramid. I wish there was a way that you could just stop, be stationary, and then almost have a Google Cam. Google Maps.
Don't they have a photo mode?
It's photo mode.
Yeah.
You can zoom around the camera, around the car.
And drone camera. Yeah.
I should try.
That's
that
what
then.
You want.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that. I don't know.
All right. Okay. So Pete, will just be multiplayer Halo moving forward.
Yeah.
It's all good. We'll bring you back in. We'll let you come back in.
A segment of it that I like, though, Greg. It's not like I'm dismissing it completely. I enjoyed the multiplayer. It was really good fun. But fuck no, I'm not.
Even enjoying the campaign up until you got to the vehicles, apparently.
Yeah, horrendous.
All right. Robin, I know you have a pretty long list here. Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to talk about Mass Effect 3. I finished off something I'd never played before, because the Legendary Edition of Mass Effect is just awesome. It really is so cool. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a bit like Leviathan. There was a DLC that I played. Mm-hmm. Well, there's another DLC pack that I'd never played, and it's called Citadel. Now, you don't know that you're playing DLC. It's all seamless.
Right.
And this is like Mass Effect in such a different way. It's so humorous. It's so funny. The whole team are cracking jokes with each other. There's almost like a Blade Runner vibe where you go back into the sort of the city and you're flying through the city. The whole team, all of them, they're all, being funny with each other. He gets given this beautiful big apartment, and he has to go to this gorgeous apartment, and you buy furniture for it and dress it up, and then you have to go and fight spoilers, what the hell, you have to fight a clone of you, so you have to fight yourself, so there's good you and bad you, even though I'm playing a bad guy all the way, so it's Shepard versus Shepard, and it's very, very cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Finished that DLC off this week, so it was kind of cool. And today, also this morning there, I spent the last half hour finishing through, I'm going to put a wee bit of video up of it now, of The Artful Escape. And it's from Annapurna, and some of the nice stuff about this little game is the voice acting was kind of fabulous. Carl Weathers is in it as some of the voice, and it's. I mentioned this last week and said that this was kind of weird and wonderful. And I'm going to zoom in, go on a bit forward here and get some of this gameplay up. So you're like a budding musician, and your electric guitar, and you don't want to be a folk singer, but you end up going flying all over the universe, doing weird and wonderful stuff, talking to these weird and wonderful creatures, playing music. And it's like you're like Guitar Hero, where there's certain creatures that will play you jam with them. So there'll be, you know, you have the green, red, two, you know, playing different strings, and it gets really funky. And then at the end of it all, you have to play in this big, massive intergalactic concert, and it's very, very cool. It's sound wise and everything is brilliant, and it looks good. And I really, really enjoyed this little game. It was Phil that recommended it. And it's weird, but it's, I mean, probably, I don't know, 3-4 hours long, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
When you say it's weird, is it like weird in like kind of a whimsical kind of way? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, you know.
By the way, did you mean to transition the video over?
I was gonna say, I'm looking out for that, and I can't see.
I was looking for it, I didn't see it, so
I'll bring it over. Sorry, there it is now, it's coming up now,
yeah. So is this on Game Pass? Is it not?
Yeah, it is. Okay. On Game Pass. So you're running through this land. You've got your electric guitar. You can, as you play it, you can riff along as you're walking along, and things light up and switch up, or flowers bud. And then there's all these big creatures that you play with, and you'll jam with them, and it's kind of odd. And it's like, whoever designed these levels, you know, they were as high as a kite when they were doing this. So, you know, it's not deep or it's not heavy. It's just a lovely, like, really, really musical game, really, really colorful and good fun. So I would recommend this. The one is a little hidden gem, and it's a nice 1,000 gamer score. So
okay. I'm assuming easy 1,000 gamer score.
Yeah. It's like it's 100 for this, 100 for that. I went back and done the last two little things that I had to get, and I got the last two that I didn't get very, very quickly.
Okay. How long did it take, Robin?
Probably 4 or 5 hours, maybe.
All right.
Okay. Spread out. Yeah. Not that long at all. But yeah, okay. Lovely. Yeah, whimsical. Nice. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Nice.
That was fun. Other stuff that I've been up to, I played some Halo with you guys. I fired up Quake because Quake is my thing. And there is a legendary edition on Game Pass as well. And it is just lovely to go back into Quake again, even though I'm only playing the single player. But just that's where I started. That's where my real multiplayer gaming stuff really, really started. And I just love Quake. Just love it.
Which Quake game came out on the 360? Was it Quake 4?
Yes,
it came out on the 360. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is the original PC thing again with the controller, but they've tidied it up a bit. Yes, it still looks its age, but it's still so quick and so fast. And the version that they have on Game Pass has all of the different. There's 4 or 5 different sort of storylines and modes, and all of the expansion packs are there. And it's still very atmospheric. Yes, it does look dated, but it's still, the gameplay is still brilliant with it. So,
well, and so I see the footage up on screen. It's interesting because Quake 4, if I remember correctly,
was pretty crap.
It was, but also it felt closer to Doom than the kind of the traditional Quake games, from what I could tell. And so I always thought that was kind of interesting because I liked, in some respects, the story of Quake 4. Because they had like a full-blown campaign, but it was very Doom-like.
This was
the more modern Doom.
I mean, for me, it was all about always about the multiplayer, and I actually think you can play multiplayer here as well, and that's maybe a fun thing, because it was some of the levels in Quake, the original Quake, were just awesome sauce. So
it is so fast.
I'm going to look into it. Yeah,
it's a mouse and keyboard game, if there has ever been one. I'll just say that.
The controller was okay. And
I want you to say it properly.
Yeah, my racing games. And this week, a set of Corsa Competizione Italiano. Yeah. Anyway, this came out this week. It came out probably about 6 or 8 months ago on the Xbox and PlayStation, and it was pretty grim, actually, the quality of it. Assetto Corsa would be seen as one of the best sim-type games.
Right.
For racing that's out there. It focuses mostly on big touring cars, like we have on screen right now. Doesn't do loads and loads of cars, but it does this here very, very well. I would love to have my rig back again, but Charlie plays with my rig and my wheel, and he's got very, very into it in a big, big way. So they've done a big, big update on the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X, and I bought it for £35, £34.99, something there. And I played quite a bit of it this week, late at night, and it's bloody brilliant. It really, really is good. They've done a fine, fine job on this, and it, again, this view here, Pete, I'm not playing this view. I'm playing inside the car. I'm trying to go through total realism.
You like to play in the cockpit.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're in
the
cock cage.
Yeah, in the cock cage with no helping bits on at all. No lines. No assists. Damage is on. I want it to be that real experience, and it is really good. It sounds fantastic. It looks fantastic. And I needed this. This semi racy thing. And as I watched some of the guys on YouTube with some of their big setups, the pool table behind me is looking very, very threatened right now.
Really? Are you contemplating?
I would consider building a really, really good rig. Is at the moment, and it's just unbelievable. And he has 3 65-inch screens wrapped around him, and a fourth one up above.
Is this going to have hydraulics? I mean, are we talking the full nine?
Yeah.
Okay.
How would something like that cost?
That's easy, $10,000. Easy. That's got to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the wheels are ridiculous. The wheels and the proper pedals, and it's a massive rabbit hole. I mean, I bought the rig. I bought the rig that we have now as a second-hand rig and a basic enough wheel. It's a really good wheel, but it's still a basic enough wheel. But yeah, I think Charlie would absolutely love that because he's in it in a big way. So, yeah. Anyway,
I love how you put it on Charlie. Charlie's gonna love that. Yeah, Charlie's. Oh boy,
this is how you justify it. Learn this, please. This is the good tactic. All right. So, awesome. Gosh. Okay. Well, I don't have a future of buying a rig and putting it into my office. There's no way I could fit it in here.
Take your cabinet out, Greg. Take that. Yeah.
It took me too long to build it, Pete. There's no way I can do that. I did play some more Halo Infinite single player and multiplayer. We had a great turnout again this week, Wednesday and Friday. I threw out just an impromptu invite on Friday. We got Robin, Mark, I think Martin joined us on Friday as well. Snoogans joined in on Wednesday. Unfortunately, he joined in right as I had to jump off. Work does occasionally actually have to be done. But we had some great sessions. Just still so much fun in that multiplayer. I think Halo creating that Fiesta gameplay mode struck some gold with that. It just is such a fun mode. And I think it's a good mode for even the most basic player to be able to get into and not feel like they're just getting their ass handed to them with no ability to ever get the cool weapons.
Good fun.
Cyberpunk. I absolutely have been loving this game to death.
Really?
I very much enjoy the story. The story is actually probably one of the best stories I have played through in the past 2 years-ish. It's really well voice acted. The actual story that you are following through is very well thought out. And much like The Witcher 3, the side missions have there's some really good side missions that aren't just fetch quests. I like the fact that they, with the update, and this was, it came with the update, but they gave you the ability to filter within the map. So you're just not looking. One of the things I hate in this, in particular, Assassin's Creed has been guilty of this for me, It's you open that map up and it's just icons, 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 icons. And and it's so easy to just get sidetracked by that, but also feel like it's overwhelming. And so I like the fact that I could focus in on just like the story mission icons only, or I can, you know, certainly put all of them up there that I've discovered, that kind of thing. But it just feels more manageable within Cyberpunk, and the side missions are great. I actually just played through a side mission where, you know, there were multiple individuals, and I'm being coy here, so I don't want to give anything away, but the multiple individuals you had to track down, and they all have different disorders going on with them that affect how they react to you. One was severely depressed and wanted to commit suicide, basically. You know, others were just, you know, kind of mentally goofy, and then others were actually kind of violent against you. And one in particular, I tracked this personality down, and they had set up a trap for me. And so as I'm following them, you know, they stop, and basically it's like, you know, you kind of fell for this, and suddenly I'm knee deep in a firefight that I did not know was coming. And I had to replay this actually twice because my ass got handed to me both times. The first go around, I thought I could just easily kind of run away from it. No, not at all. And so, just love that aspect of the game.
Okay.
And it looks great and it plays well. Although I did have a dashboard crash happen on me, which was kind of the first time I'd ever had it happen. And I'm wondering if it's because I'm using Quick Resume. I could be wrong, but I have been using Quick Resume in Cyberpunk a lot, and that has been working pretty flawlessly. But yeah, Cyberpunk, cannot recommend it enough. I very much, this has been a fantastic RPG.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I've brought this game from day one, and I've not fired it up.
Do it, Pete. When you get into it, the important thing is to really pay attention to the story. And I feel like a lot of people just jumped into it and they didn't want to necessarily pay attention to the story, but the story that's being told in the game is actually, it is really well done. And it's one that you do have to, I mean, the characters, the interaction, there's emotion that you will get an emotional tie to certain characters, that was surprising to me because I didn't think at first pretty much. I didn't think I was going to like one of the side characters that you kind of are buddied up with early on in the game. But the more I really paid attention to it on my, I think it was my second playthrough, because the first time I really didn't pay much attention. I was kind of lost in the story. The next time I played through it, I really paid attention. I started just to really focus in on that character and kind of what was going on. And I was just like, holy shit, this is actually really good. The story, the character, the voice acting. So I can't sing the Cyberpunk praises enough.
Okay.
And that transitions me to the next big game.
Ooh.
So my brother from another that decided to skip the show, Mark Wright, we went in on Elden Ring. I am not a Dark Souls fan. I've tried playing Dark Souls games in the past, but I was like, you know what? I know Mark wanted to play this game, and I was very curious about Elden Ring. So I was like, you know what? Why the hell not? Let's just do it. You know, that's only half the cost of a game to me, so it's okay. So bought Elden Ring, and I decided to dip my toe into it the night it came out. I'm cautiously optimistic about this game. And I say cautiously optimistic just because I've never been a Dark Souls person. So, you know, my fear is I'm, you know, will eventually like kind of phase out of it and be like, no, I can't. I'm not enjoying it. But what I played so far, I very much enjoyed. I basically kind of went through, there's a tutorial section they start you off with. And it's kind of hard at not being a Dark Souls player. I get into this game and there's a moment where you're in this area and you see a character and it says, basically it's talking about taking a leap of faith. And you look over the edge where this character is sitting in a chair kind of pointing you to, and it's just a cavern. Like you, it's a far drop down and you're kind of like, I mean, me personally, I'm just like, I'm going to die. I would drop down there. This is some ruse. I'm going to die. But no, you actually go down that off that ledge, and it takes you into a tutorial section for the game. The tutorial section is actually really well done. Another important thing I learned very early on is that, again, talking control schemes, Pete, they put the crouch button on the left thumbstick, and that just did not feel good to me.
Oh, no.
And you can map anything, remap any of the buttons. And so I put the crouch button on the right thumbstick, and that felt way better to me. The use item button is the X or the square button, depending upon which system you're playing. And apparently that is a deviation from Dark Souls. So Dark Souls players are used to that being, I think, the crouch button. And so Mark was saying every time he would go to crouch, he kept hitting that note. He was drinking his potions. But so you can obviously change that out if you want to. So I like that customization. I went with a warrior class. So there's vagabond, warrior, hero, bandit, astrologer, prophet, samurai, prisoner, confessor, and wretch. I think wretch is the hardest one to start with because that's like you were just naked with a club. Cool. And I was like,
It's not a bad thing.
I think in this game, that would be a very bad thing. The open world aspect, and it's interesting because in that tutorial section, and then there's a little bit of an area beyond that, it feels very Dark Souls. I was kind of like, okay, this just feels like the Dark Souls game, and I was a little concerned because you're in a basically like a dungeon. It's pretty linear, and you know you are fighting a couple baddies here and there, and then you get to a boss fight. But then the game gets you out of the dungeon. And once you're out of the dungeon, suddenly the whole world is open in front of you and you literally can go anywhere. The nice thing is the bonfire system. You could fast travel back to a bonfire at any point anywhere in the game. And that's an important deviation, I think, from the previous Dark Souls games because you couldn't do that. And so, you know, here, let's say you get yourself kind of stuck on a ledge. You're like, fuck, I don't know where to go. You just fast travel back to your bonfire and then kind of, you know, reset yourself to where you can move forward from there. Running away is a tactic. Yeah, running away is a tactic in this game. You don't have to, you know, if you come across a big boss, you know, character, you don't have to confront them. You can skirt around them and go adventure elsewhere, get stronger and come back to fight them. I discovered one of the, there's a merchant just kind of north of the area you first emerge in, and he basically is Santa. He looks like Santa Claus. He's a little tiny Santa Claus merchant, and apparently they're scattered throughout the lands. But so far, so good. I'm liking it. It feels responsive. I was playing it in quality mode. If you were super concerned about frame rate, you can kick it down to performance mode. It'll definitely be probably a smoother experience. But I wasn't noticing huge differences between the performance mode and the frame rate mode that I just, you know, kind of opted for the quality mode for now. But I've never been a big frames per second kind of person. I know some people are like, oh my God, it's got to be 60 frames per second or not. You know, if you're really that concerned, PC is probably the best place to play it. So yeah.
The game is pretty, isn't it? Jeez, the graphics are so cool.
It is. It's another, you know, just like Dark Souls or Bloodborne, it's got this disturbing level to the characters. I mean, they look hideous, you know, they're hideous monstrosities. And pretty much everything in this land wants to kill you outside of, you know, those NPC characters where you can buy stuff from them, at least so far. But another thing that's different from other Dark Souls games, there is a jump button. I guess you never had that in Dark Souls before. But I, you know, discovered that that was a thing apparently. And you can actually do a jump attack where you jump up in the air and then you, you know, hit your attack button and he'll do a cool flying attack at the enemy type thing. So cautiously optimistic. Elden Ring.
There you go. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed. Okay. All right. Let's get into some news.
Here is the fucking news.
So, speaking of Elden Ring, if you are on the PlayStation 5, there apparently publisher Bandai Namco said if your console switches off unexpectedly while you're playing Elden Ring, or you put the PS5 in rest mode, save data may not be saved correctly. They're working on a fix. But for now, they say it's best to save your progress manually if you're on the PlayStation 5.
A tape or something like that there.
Yeah. Look, this game does have some quirks and bugs to it. I know there's some frame rate issues both on the PlayStation 5 as well as the Xbox Series X. So it's not running smoothly, 60 frames continuously. So I imagine there's going to be some patches coming with this kind of game. It's also, again, a big open world game. There's going to be some bugs and glitches here and there. Okay. This is a little bit bigger one, though. Save manually for now until that patch comes out. Speaking of the Mitch, PlayStation 5.
Peasant Rich. No save mode.
Ah, yes, there you go. Yeah. Mm. No, thank you. Not for me. So Sony, the rumors are starting to swirl now around their Project Spartacus. This is, of course, their answer to Game Pass. And I guess numerous outlets have been reporting now kind of the pricing of this new Game Pass. And we don't know what they're going to call it for now. It's Sony's Spartacus plan. But according to VentureBeat, they're going to have three tiers as of now. There will be a $10 tier, a $13 tier, and a $16 tier per month. The first level is basically kind of what you get now with PlayStation Plus. So it's kind of PlayStation Plus as it is. $10 a month gives you access to games every month that you can add to your library. Then there's the extra tier, which will cost $13 a month. That will include access to those monthly games as well as to a games catalog with hundreds of older games that you can download. That catalog could possibly be the same as PlayStation Now, although it's not totally known at this point in time. But that's at least the way they're thinking it's going to be laid out. And then the premium tier, which would be $16 per month, which is pretty steep. But that will include all of the aforementioned perks, as well as access to PlayStation Now's streaming capabilities and a library of classic games. And then it says, in addition, it will give you access to a feature called Game Trials. So think what EA does with their games. So when a new game comes out, you'll have access to that game for a limited number of hours, and then they kind of cut you off from it. So that'll be interesting.
How much is the full Game Pass?
Game Pass Ultimate is $15 a month.
Is it about, so it's going to be about the same. So.
Yeah, about the same. And from what I'm assuming when they're talking about the game trials, I'm assuming that's for first party games. So, God of War comes out, you're the premium tier of Spartacus, you get a 5-hour trial of God of War as part of premium tier.
Yeah, you still have to buy it eventually. I don't agree with that. That's just bullshit. I wouldn't buy into it at all.
Look, take this with a grain of salt, obviously. This is not confirmed by any stretch, but multiple outlets are reporting on this, so it kind of feels like this might be what they're looking to do. But everything is subject to change. We know Sony doesn't want to do their first-party games, so I can't imagine you're going to get day one releases anytime soon with any service.
The chat there, Boof says he hopes they don't use PAL versions of classic games like they did with Ape Escape 2 on the PS4 or the PlayStation Classic. Why is that a problem, Boof? It's because, PAL would be a UK, Europe thing. We use our NTSC over in the States. So I take it that if it's in PAL, it makes them look kind of weird in America then. Yeah.
Maybe possibly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we're going to learn more about this, I think, sooner rather than later. This could, maybe they wait till E3, but I have a feeling Sony is going to do a PlayStation show ahead of this. And likely they're going to have a bunch of information on PSVR 2, which we're going to talk about in the next news bit, because they're starting this, that's starting to be shown off. So I can't imagine Sony's not going to do a proper E3-like show this year, or at least their own standalone show, and kind of really show off everything. So,
but whatever Spartacus is in terms of it to be, it has to be as good as it possibly can. It can't be just dialing it. Because Game Pass is very, very hard to beat. So it's a big high bar that they have to be able to do that. So
it is, but it doesn't even need to be as excessive as Game Pass, does it? I mean, you get a great bargain, don't you, with Game Pass?
Right.
You get all these games. But if they said that you paid $16 a month and you got God of War and you got Last of Us or you got other PlayStation exclusives across the year, you'd think to yourself, well, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to dip into it. But if you're only going to get like 3, 4, 10 hours into as a dip into the game just to try it out, you'd be mad to sign up for that. It's ridiculous.
Or the EA, as you said, the EA trials and sometimes with those couple of hours that you get there, you've had enough of the game, you don't want to buy it.
Fair play. I don't think Sony needs to go toe-to-toe with Microsoft on this. Sony has there's a loyal fan base to the PlayStation. Hey, so I think if they can...
games,
If they can give them something that is maybe not, on equal footing, but close and really, makes the PlayStation, super fan feel like they've got a real good value. And maybe this is what they're going to consider to be a good value because they're getting all of their old PlayStation Now games. They're getting the PS Now service incorporated into it. That I think is a must. And then, they do give you some access into new titles ahead of time. So, you can get Uncharted going before it releases for a couple hours. Maybe you're gonna buy it anyway, but now you get it a little bit early. I don't know. Maybe that's enough for a PlayStation fan. And again, we'll see. It's not confirmed yet, but that is the rumor that is swirling around right now. One thing we can confirm is what the PlayStation VR 2 headset and controllers look like.
It's on the screen.
So Sony put this out in a press release earlier this week, showing off the new VR 2 headset. Not a lot of detail was given here, really. It was just showing off images of kind of what that controller looks like, what the headset looks like. Pete's rummaging through his bag for something.
I'm sorry.
What are we looking for, Pete?
Oh, it's all right. I just somebody's having something in my fucking... in my stuff that I'm not even open myself yet. But anyway, sorry.
No worries. I mean, VR2, it looks very much like the first VR headset with refinements, if you ask me. So the cords have been cut down, obviously. Just one cable now.
Okay.
Just the one cable on the, and it looks like it plugs into the kind of back side of the headset unit. So they have included a couple of new features they did highlight in this little press release. So lens adjustment dial, so users have an additional option to match lens distances between their eyes to optimize their view. Okay. It's a slimmer design with a slight weight reduction to the original. And then they have a built-in motor for headset feedback. So I mean, that's got to be rumble in your head, right? That sounds like what that is. and then they've integrated a new vent design for the VR2 headset. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more breathable. And so when you're doing some of those, more high action or high activity games, you're not going to have a sweat bucket in your face. That's about all we know as of now. No release date, no pricing, nothing like that yet. But you can, I mean, put a high bet on the fact that you're going to hear about this at least by E3 time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a big commitment to do that. They're doubling down on their investment, you know.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's something that Microsoft never got together.
It's interesting. Microsoft, they had talked about VR coming, and then they just backtracked away from that completely. And I do not expect we will see a VR headset come out of Microsoft, nor Nintendo, to be honest. Nintendo did that stupid little handheld cardboard thing for a while, and they quickly got away from that. So I think this Sony is in this from the console space pretty much by themselves. It is their space to own. And then, obviously they're competing up against the Quest 2s of the world. Was the Valve one. I can't remember. I was going to say Hive, but I can't remember the name of the Valve version. But anyway, Street Fighter 6 was confirmed earlier in the week. There was a new teaser trailer that came out. And so Street Fighter 6 is a thing. We know pretty much nothing. They did not give away platforms, which was interesting because normally, when they've announced these games, you usually see at the end of the trailer, they talk about the platforms it's coming on. Nothing there was stated, and they said that there would be more news coming in the summer of 2022. Street Fighter V, as you recall, was exclusive to the PlayStation system. So, I guess it was PlayStation 5, PlayStation as well as PC. Maybe they're going to do the same thing again. Hard to say. It is a bit interesting that they didn't reveal anything in terms of what platforms they were going to be on. So either that's maybe still being negotiated, or they have a big reveal planned. That's about all we know. I mean, it looks like it's a more realistic version of Street Fighter VI. Looks like it's going to be pretty cool, but okay.
I'm not a Street Fighter person. Street Fighter 2. Oh, I love Street Fighter. They should have just left it at number 2, though.
Yeah.
6. Oh, my God. It makes me feel old.
Well, newsflash there, Pete.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Hey, that pretty much does it for the news. Pete, I know we are looking for something. Would you like me to read off the new releases?
Oh, shit. All right, I'll do that. Right, new releases. First to the 5th of March, so there's LX2, which is on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Far, Changing Tides, which is pretty much on all of the platforms, including Switch. Puzzle Quest 3, which is only available on PC, iOS, and Android. And Shadow Warrior 3. Which is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Babylon's Fall, which is on PlayStation 5 and PS4 and PC. Gran Turismo 7, PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. And Triangle Strategy, which is only available on the Switch. So that's your releases between the 1st and 5th of March.
Okay. I heard an interesting conversation, and actually one of I think it was the GamesBeat podcast. They were talking about released timing because it is, you kind of think about, PlayStation has just had Horizon Forbidden West. Now they're getting Gran Turismo coming out. I guess the thinking is oftentimes, depending upon how the company's fiscal year is calculated, sometimes they're, so like Sony, I believe their calendar year comes to an end in June, I think. And so you see a lot of spring releases for them because they're basically getting all those games out. Yeah, squeezing them out to the very end. And I never really thought about that. And then that conversation happened. I'm like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense now because Sony traditionally has put a lot of their first party out in the springtime. And I was kind of questioning this, like, why would you put it out in the spring? It seems like holiday would be a great time to have those games come out. But it could very well be that sometimes they're saving some of these games for that kind of quarter end.
Springtime for Sony and the fatherland.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Pete, for that, by the way. I appreciate that. Playdates.
Absolutely. Halo.
Halo.
Halo. Yeah. Halo, sun or shine, don't. We'll get. You can, well, you, we got. Sorry, Robin, spit it out. Fuck's sake. We have mongoose love. We really do. Mongoose love.
Okay. We do. And look, if we get a big enough group, we'll do a private game. There is a way to create private games within Halo. Yeah. I discovered that, so we can certainly do that. Have some fun in that regard, or we can play like a big team battle if we need to. In the meantime, what we've been doing a lot of times, we've had four people there. We're doing, you know, the four-man squad gameplay types, which includes, of course, Fiesta. But yeah, so come check it out Wednesday, 9 p.m. in the UK. It's basically 1 p.m. out on the West Coast. And if you're anywhere in between there, you'll find your time. But reach out to Robin, reach out to myself, reach out to Pete. He'll give you, he'll point you in the right direction. And, we even have a WhatsApp group. You can join up there as well. I know Snoogans just joined up to the WhatsApp group because he wants to be part of that. So, it's growing. I love it. Okay. I suppose we can wrap the show up. We've been talking for a little bit.
It's all right.
Pete, anybody you would like to give a shout out to?
Oh, well, I'm going to shout out some of the people that come into the chat. So
yes.
there's Boomer, Empress Sonia, Hardly Dan, Katy Nar. Oh my God, why have they come up with the most awkward names? Lenore, and then there's obviously us, beautiful lot. So
there was also Lord. There was also Boof coming from the YouTube side.
There's the YouTube side as well. And my brother. Oh,
and your brother, dear. Yeah.
He said he couldn't hear us, mother. But he loves us. So bless him. Good old Mike. Apart from that, the only thing I'm going to say is if you are in the UK and you need to go to A&E and it's not that urgent, I went on the NHS website, and you can actually book a slot on the A&E in the A&E department, and it's pretty good actually. I booked it for 12:30 today, and I got seen to pretty quickly, not in any sexual or cock cage type of way. It's pretty cool. So I didn't know you could do that.
There you go. Yeah. So if you have a planned emergency. You know, reach out to the A&E website.
Well, this is it. It's all through 111. But you wouldn't know if you was outside the UK. But it's really worth doing because, it saved us a whole boatload of time and filling out forms and all of that shit. So, anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to keep my feet up for the next God knows how many hours. Robin, I'll hand it over to you. The Poison Chalice.
Mark, get your ass to Mars, okay? Get your ass to Mars. Dan, well done on your bicycle today. The Lycra just got me, man. It just, fuck. Dan and Lycra, Christ almighty. It was so good. Anyway, give Dan money. Go to his Just Giving page. Give Dan money. He's raising it for a good cause, which is really, really good. So please do so. And Kim, I hope you're getting on okay. Kim Woods 3 was much better than you tonight. Much more interactive. We prefer this one. So don't worry, Kim. If we go away for too long, you can be replaced. Anyway, Greg, that's it. Yeah, everybody have a good week. Have a good fun week and be safe. I know the world again is once again very, very crazy. So let's get through this week and we have the first world problems next week of internet connections rather than worrying about the crazy stuff that's going on out there. I don't even want to mention. Yeah. Don't mention the war. So I just don't want to. So
No. I mean, obviously a shout out to the people of Ukraine. We're all on your side. I did see a tweet from the developers of the Stalker game. I didn't even think about this, but I mean, there, I guess a lot of them are based out of the Ukraine. So, you know, they said, you know, the development right now is a little bit up in the air. Totally understandable. I do want to say, so Pete, you brought up going to A&E. My son had to get lab work done yesterday. And the doctors already had put the order in. So, you know, it was go down to get a blood draw at the hospital, that kind of thing. And I show up there. And I knew the order was in his file. So it's not like, you know, I don't need to contact somebody for it. So we show up. And the gal's like, there's nobody in line. Nobody in line at all. I walk up to the window. And she's like, can you push the button and take a number, please? Are you fucking kidding me? So I'm looking at the and there's like people. Well, and the funniest thing is there's three different buttons, and all of them are like, you know, one says, you know, walk in, one says you have an appointment, and then the other one's for like a different area. And I'm like, well, we're not really a walk-in because we already have our doctor's order. So I clicked on the, you know, appointment one. She's like, next time click on the walk-in because you're a walk-in. And I'm like,
God,
okay. And she's like, well, she's like, okay. You know, and she looks over his, you know, his work stuff. And she's like, okay, well, I'll get you guys in right now then. Okay. And I was like, okay, great. And she's like, oh, by the way, next time you can use the website, it'll be faster for you. And I'm like, not really. You're getting me in right now. I literally just walked in and went in and got the blood draw.
Says no. Computer says no. I was a month or two ago, we were in a Nutties, a Dunky Donuts, and I went in to quickly get something, and I ran up to the counter. There was no one in the store, and there was about six people behind the counter, and I ran up to the front of the counter, big counter,
right.
Stood there, and nobody came near me. Nobody came near me because I had to stand 2 feet to the left.
Oh my God. In
the wrong part. And I just my blood boils. I had to get out of there really quickly because I hate that sort of stuff. I really do.
Drives you a bit nuts.
Anyway. But anyway.
Yeah. Hey, happy birthday, Tony. Again, please make sure Kim explains that birthday song to you. Mm-hmm. It's important. And hey, to everybody, thanks for tuning in. We definitely will be back next week. Potentially the same cast, different cast, who knows? But we'll be having fun. We'll talk video games. We'll talk about life. And just come back. Be part of the chat. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
I approve this message.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.